Good morning. I greet you this wonderful morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a blessing to be with you. If this is your first time worshiping with Trinity Baptist Church, High Point, North Carolina, and the Light to Guide Our Feet Ministry, I'm very, very happy to welcome you, and I thank the Lord for you. My name is Pastor Clarence William Page, and it is just a great blessing to be able to fellowship with the people of God and with any people who are willing to hear the Word of God. I call your attention to the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke. And in the Gospel according to Luke, with specificity to chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 in the New Testament. And in Luke chapter 10, let us, you and I, read beginning at verse 25. Luke chapter 10, beginning reading at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Read it once again, Luke chapter 10, verse 37. Luke chapter 10, verse 37. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask thee in Jesus' name to make this worship service beneficial to every listening ear, not only at the time of its first offering, but whenever it is heard and or experienced anywhere at any time. Cause it to be effective to your glory and to the good of the hearer. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. For a short time, my friends, let's worship and commune together under the topic, Making the Difference. Making the Difference. There is a background to our scripture, and if you have studied the Holy Bible, you know that there were times when Jesus was confronted by people, some friendly and some not friendly. For not only were there people who wanted to hear him, there were those who wanted to trap him, to trick him. And so one way they would do that in their attempts to trap him or trick him would be to ask him questions. And so a person, apparently one supposedly learned, asked him a question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? He even called him Master. He said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? According to Luke chapter 10, verse 25, he was a lawyer. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So the Bible tells us quite succinctly and clearly that the purpose of the question was to tempt Jesus. Apparently, the purpose of the question was not the man's desire to have eternal life, but to trip Jesus or to trick him, to push him into a corner verbally, or to ask him a question that he could not effectively answer. And so he asked the question, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? The use of the term master would indicate that the man might have had reverential regard for Jesus Christ. may have held him in some high position of honor in his mind. But the Bible says that he asked the question to tempt him. And so we must allow ourselves to be instructed that there are times when people will pretend to honor us when they are only trying to tempt us. They may say, well, Reverend, let me ask you this. Just because a person refers to you as Reverend doesn't mean that he respects that title, nor does it mean that he respects you. He may refer to you as Bishop, Elder, or some other name of the ministry, but his motives may be ulterior. He may not actually have an interest in spiritual things, but only want to show you up and hopefully show you as being unauthentic, being a quack. That's what they want to do. That's why they tempt us. Many of them, particularly the educated, have already decided that those of us who have faith are not that smart, that we are not that intellectual, that we are not that scientific, that we are not that empirical. Many of them think that we are weak-minded and that we believe in what we call a God because we need a crutch on which to lean. They feel that we are not strong enough mentally and intellectually, and that we need to believe in what they would say in their mind is some non-existent, imagined deity that we call God. That's what some people think, and some will believe that until God brings them to a point where they have to admit that there must be someone, somewhere, who began it all, who has sustained it all, who controls it all, and who rules over it all. So he calls him master, but that does not indicate that he truly respected him as master, because the verse says he asked the question to tempt him. Jesus, in verse 26, we are told what Jesus responded to him. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? So Jesus asked him a question. The man tempting him asked a question. Jesus asked a question concerning scripture, concerning holy things. Verse 27, the lawyer answers here. In verse 27, and he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now this is very instructive here. The man indicates that he wants to know what he shall do to inherit eternal life. What shall he do? And so Jesus asks him what is written in the law, and the man responds with love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul. Love the Lord thy God with all thy strength. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, that is true. If you do that, regardless of whether you're talking about the law or whatever, that's salvation. It is through Jesus Christ now, of course. We get to heaven through Jesus Christ, but we love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. That's what the law required. So if you are saved today, if you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself a saint of God living on planet Earth, the question you must ask yourself is, do I love the Lord my God, Almighty God, with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my strength and with all my mind? And do I love my neighbor as myself? That's a litmus test for us. Through Jesus Christ, of course. If you are saved, Jesus saves you into that position. Salvation brings that love into your heart, into your soul, into your strength, into your mind. And salvation also causes you to love your neighbor as yourself. Someone may say it doesn't take all that to get to heaven, but it does. Well, how do I do that? Through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus had to come. There were many like the lawyer who knew what the law said, but they didn't do it. But in Jesus Christ, it comes with salvation. It comes with being saved. It comes with believing Him. It comes with the Spirit. It comes with the Holy Ghost. Loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and then loving thy neighbor as thyself. Now, many people may find it easy to love the Lord God, or easier to love the Lord God than to love their neighbor, particularly before Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, before He paid the penalty for our sins and rose for our justification, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit came unto us. Because God should be easy to love, but the neighbor is not always easy to love. But in Jesus Christ, we can do all of this. Those of us who are saved, we understand. If you're not saved, perhaps you don't understand. But those of us who are saved, we love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, and we love our neighbor as ourself. I love my neighbor as myself. I pray for my neighbors, even those who don't know I'm praying for them, even those with whom I'm not very well acquainted. Those who don't visit me and I don't visit them, but those who live near me. But Jesus goes on to define neighbor in a broader sense and category. Not just those people who live on the street or road that I live on or you live on, or those that we know, or those with whom we interact because we're in the same area geographically, the same county, city, state, country, whatever. Or we happen to be seated together on a plane or a bus or a train or just walking past each other downtown or on the road or standing in line waiting to be served. Neighbor here is defined in a broader way. And it is important that Christians understand this. Very important that Christians understand this. And so, after the lawyer tells Jesus what he reads in the law, because he asks the question about inheriting eternal life, and then he goes on to tell Jesus what the law says about it. Because all Jesus said, what is written in the law, how readest thou? So he's asking Jesus Christ a question about eternal life. And when Jesus asked him, what does the law say? He already knew what the law said. So clearly he was tempting him. In verse 28, Jesus says, let's read verse 28 of Luke chapter 10. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. So Jesus confirms, if you do that, most certainly you shall live. But verse 29, the lawyer responds, but the Bible says, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? A lot of times people plead ignorance and try to trip us up. Well, who is my neighbor? Now, he didn't ask that question about who is God. And perhaps in his mind, the most difficult part was loving the neighbor. And for some of you, for some of us human beings, the most difficult part for us is loving another human being. Jesus himself talks about how people draw nigh to him with their mouth and honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. And so people can do that with God also. And many do. They talk about God. They might witness the preacher. They might say amen, hallelujah. They may talk about how good God is, how great God is, give God all kind of honor, all kinds of honor with their mouth, with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. So here, the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? He didn't ask, well, who is God? Maybe he had sense enough to know that he was talking to God. I said maybe the scripture didn't say that. He called him master. Sometimes people know who you are, even though they don't appreciate who you are, or won't even admit who you are. But there may have been something in that lawyer that let him know assuredly that he was talking to God the Son. And he referred to him as Master. Master. And he is and was the Master. God will reveal to people who you are, who we are, even though they may not accept us or honor us or acknowledge who we are. But he called him Master in the beginning. I've learned not to worry about what honor man gives me or what title he calls. The Bible says, Jesus said, beware of men. Beware of them. Beware. Just because he calls you Reverend doesn't mean that he respects you as Reverend. Doesn't mean that he means you well just because he calls you Reverend or Bishop. It doesn't necessarily mean that. And we see that here. Jesus was being tempted. And so here in Luke chapter 10, verse 29, we read, but he, that he meaning the lawyer who was trying to tempt Jesus, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You see, people are more concerned about how they look in situations and how they come out and how they appear and validating what they're doing, validating their questioning, process and technique, trying to show that they're genuine, when actually all they're trying to do is tempt us. Not in every case, but in this case, that's what he was trying to do. People will do it and try to hide it, try to justify themselves, try to make it look like a logical thing that they would do when talking to this kind of person. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus, in verse 30 and following, in verse 30 and the following verses, answered him. Verse 30 of Luke chapter 10 and following. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. So Jesus, in answering the question from the lawyer of, well, who is my neighbor and who is my neighbor, gives the parable of a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves, and they stripped him of his raiment. They wounded him, and they departed, leaving him half dead. Well, that's a terrible situation to be in. You're traveling, and you get to a point where you are pounced upon by thieves. They strip off your raiment, your clothing. They wound you physically. No, but to the point that you are half dead. You are half alive and half dead. It's a matter of whether you, in the future, you are or were. A matter of whether when somebody comes by, they're going to find that you were or that you are. You're half dead, you're half alive, and half dead. That's a terrible situation to be in. And half dead, I would extrapolate as being 50-50. Might live, might die. Might live, might die. Might live, might die. We find people in those situations, physically and spiritually. We find people who are in trouble, and they might make it, and they might not make it. Half dead. Might make it, might not make it. Might make it, might not make it. And some of us see it like the priests We see it, but we pass by on the other side. Some of us, like the Levite, come and look at the person and pass by on the other side. We do not make a difference. The man is teetering between life and death, half alive and half dead. Apparently, if no one ministers to him and has mercy upon him, he's going to die. And we let people die because we won't have mercy on them. They're in half alive and half dead situation. If we help them, they will live, but if we don't help them, they will die. If we help them in the future, someone will say, he is. But if we don't help them in the future, someone will refer to him in the past tense. He was. He is. He exists. Or he does not exist. Half dead. We don't think about that often. We only think about ourselves. We don't think, many of us, about how we can save a person who is half dead, who is in a half dead situation, either physically or spiritually, financially, or in many other ways, mentally, emotionally, half alive and half dead, half sane and half crazy. The Bible says specifically, ye that are strong, bear the infirmity of the weak. Ye that are strong, bear the infirmity of the weak. But we're not willing to do that oftentimes. We're not willing to have mercy. And so we see a person in a situation, half dead. They're half dead, they're half alive. If no one helps them, more than likely they're going to be dead, because it appears to be a 50-50 situation, and we won't get involved to change the odds. We leave people in a half-dead state and will not get involved to change the odds. We see them and we pass by on the other side, as did the priest, as did the Levite. But there was a certain Samaritan who came to the same place. When he saw him, this man, half dead, who had been skirted, who had been ignored, as it were, by the priest and the Levite, who saw him half dead, and left him in that half-dead state. And without someone ministering to him, it would appear to me that he would probably die. I was in the military, U.S. military, twice. The first time I was in the military, I was a medic. They called us combat medics or medical corps, corpsmen. C-O-R-P-S-M-A-N. So I was a medic. I went to and graduated from the Army Medical Training Center and School out in Texas, and I worked as a medic. And they taught us how to keep people alive. People who are not ministered to oftentimes will die just because no one ministered to them. So our job is to make the difference. If we find someone half dead, we are going to treat them, or were, I'm not in this military now, we were going to treat them in such a way that they would have a very good chance of living. But if you find someone half dead and you do nothing, the odds then become that because nothing was done, more than likely they will die. That's, I'm sad to say, the condition the priest left the man in, and that's the condition the Levite left the man in, and I am wondering if that is the condition that many of you who call yourselves Christians leave people in. half dead, 50% alive and 50% dead. Someone may say, well, Reverend, that's not possible. I would see it as being they have half a chance of half the chance of dying and half of living, or 50% the chance of dying and half and 50% the chance of living. The difference between is and was. The difference between is and was. He is right now, but if no one ministers to him, he's going to be a was. But if someone ministers to him, he will continue to be an is. He will continue to live. But the priests apparently did not do a thing to change the odds. He looked at him and passed by on the other side. The Levite did not do a thing to change the odds. He looked at him and passed by on the other side. Someone may say, well, Reverend, maybe they prayed for him. Jesus didn't put that part in. I don't know. I can't say. But Jesus didn't say that here, that they prayed for him. Some of us do pray for people. I've prayed for people who are in situations that I'm passing by. I'll pray for them. If I'm not where they are, but if I'm the one there, in this case, the priest apparently was the only one there at the time when he arrived. The Levite apparently was the only one there at the time when he, the Levite, arrived. It's not like there were other people there ministering to him. The man was half dead, had as much chance dying as living, and the priest didn't change the odds. And there are many of you who call yourselves Christians and you refuse to change the odds. The Levite did not change the odds. And there are many of you who call yourselves Christians, and I'm not criticizing you. I want you to think about this. But the Levite did not change the odds, and many of you will not change the odds. But in verse 33 of Luke chapter 10, Jesus says the following: But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, apparently, the priest did not have compassion. How sad that is. A priest with no compassion. Apparently, the Levite did not have compassion. How sad that is. A Levite with no compassion. How sad it is to be a preacher with no compassion. How sad it is to be a reverend with no compassion. How sad it is to be a bishop with no compassion. How sad it is to be a deacon with no compassion. How sad it is to be a choir member who call yourself Christian and have no compassion on fellow human beings who are in dire situations. How sad it is to call yourself an evangelist and have no compassion. The man is teetering on the brink of living and dying. The man is teetering on the brink of living and dying, and the priest had no compassion. The man is teetering on the brink of living and dying, and the Levite had no compassion, and they were church people. Lord have mercy. Church people. Lord have mercy. Church people with no compassion. Lord have mercy. And they thought they were pure blood Jews, apparently. True blood. True blood, pure blood in their minds, but they had no compassion. They may have had what in their minds were good reasons for not ministering to the man, but those reasons did not give them the real godly reason to not minister. I want to be careful here. We in ministry must be careful. There can be dangers. I have picked up people who were dangerous. Here Jesus mentions men. I, as a minister, would not recommend that every woman pick up every person that needs help, even though you're a Christian, because there are dangers. Now, that's just my thinking. When I was in college, I was a taxi cab driver. That's one way I paid my way through college. And I recognized that there were certain trips that I would get that would be dangerous. And when at night I picked up a man, I normally required him to sit in the front seat. The reason I did that was because I'm a man, and I figured I'd have as much chance as he had if he decided he wanted to attack me. But if he was in the back seat, then I felt that I was at a disadvantage. So if it was a man, I would tell him, because normally they'd open the back door and get in the back seat, but I would say, oh, get in the front seat. And he would get in the front seat with me, sometimes pick up more than one man, so you have to just pray and thank God. If they don't look right, then you might not pick them up. We have to use wisdom, because Satan sometimes will send people to hurt us. And so I want to be careful to not say, well, every time you see somebody who seems to be in trouble, you got to pick them up. One thing you might do is go get someone who can help them better than you can. You can call people. But to do nothing, a man teetering on the brink of life and death and doing nothing, there are many ways we can help people. We can get help for them. I have done that in situations where I saw people in need and ways that I couldn't help them, not physically, but some other way. And I would try to get help for them. That's compassion. But doing nothing, the priests apparently did nothing. Jesus does not give one helpful thing the priest did. He looked on him and passed by on the other side. Jesus does not give one helpful thing that the Levite did. He looked at on him and passed by on the other side. He did zero to help the man who was half alive and half dead. 50-50. Might live, might die, might live, might die. And the priest did nothing. Zero compassion expressed in helping the man. The Levite did nothing, zero compassion expressed in helping the man. But there are many ways that we can help people, so I'm saying, particularly if you're a female, you be careful. I remember I went down to a church, it's really in Greensboro, right across from the Greensboro Coliseum one Sunday. Sometimes I would visit churches, and I had worked with some churches in times past back in the 1990s, And so that particular Sunday, I said, I'm going to stop by this church I had met because I worked with church organizations. It happened to be a Caucasian-type church. And so I stopped, and I think I was maybe got there maybe 11:30, something like that. I was just going to sit in the back. But I found that another group from another country was using the church. I think they may have been Chinese or whatever. And so they were ending their services, and they were asking people to come into the fellowship hall. They were feeding or whatever. And I stepped into the fellowship hall for just a few minutes. Then I went out to get in my car. And when I went out to get in my car, there was a man on the church ground said, can you give me a ride? And he didn't look as if he'd been to church. And so as a minister, your mind does many things. And I said to myself, well, now here's a man on the church ground, I'm just coming out of the church, and he asked me for a ride. And so I'll sometimes take chances that you shouldn't take. And my wife criticizes me, my sisters criticize me, particularly for taking some chances. But I said, okay, get in. And he got in the front seat. And he wanted me to take him to a certain place, he said. It was really out near the superhighway. And he said, I want you to take me to Florida Street, and I think that's, I forget the name of that street now. Freeman Mill Road, I think it is. Take me to Florida and Freeman Mill Road. So he got in the car, and we started down. At that time, the street was called Lee Street. And we started talking. He told me that, I asked him some questions. I think he said he had been in prison in Texas, and I asked him what for. He said, for murdering a man or some men, and that kind of got my attention. I said, oh, yeah? And but he kept putting his hands, that car had a gear stick in the center, and he kept putting his hands over near the gear stick. And being an old taxi cab driver, that kind of got my attention, too. So I'm pretty bold. I said, move your hands from over here. Move your hands over there. He looked at me like, you know, I said, no, move your hands. He moved them and put them back because he saw then that I was alert. And so, but you could tell that the boy had some trouble, some problems. You could tell the man had some problems. He was a Caucasian man. Looked like me, have been about 45 or 50 and about 200 pounds, 250 maybe. And taxi cab drivers have certain protocols that we have in our minds. Number one, when I drove taxi cab, if you were in this front seat and you were going to hurt me, then I was going to hurt both of you because I was going to run into something. And I'm sorry to say that, but I was a young man then. I was 21 years old, I think. I had to be 21 to get my taxi cab license. So I was about 21 years old, so I already had the protocol that if you're going to hurt me, if I can't resist you effectively, then we're both going to get hurt because I'm going to run into something, and that's going to change the calculus here in this taxi cab. So what I did when he started putting his hands in the center near my gear stick, I unbuckled my seatbelt because I knew that if something went down, I was going to need to be able to respond to him. Yes, I'm a minister. I was a minister then. But God requires us to defend ourselves. That's one thing I get from the Holy Bible. David, the man in charge of David's army, was really his nephew, Zeruiah's son, Joab. And a situation occurred where Joab had a brother named Asahel. And to make a long story short, Abner, who had been the main man for Saul, Abner killed Asahel. And and Asahel had two brothers who were bad boys. When I say bad boys, I mean tough boys. They were in David's army. And to make a long story short, I'm not going to give you the whole story, but after Abner killed Asahel, Joab tricked, because Joab was going to avenge his brother, and he tricked Abner and killed him. And he pretended he wanted to talk to him about something and drew him aside and killed him. And David said, "Died Abner as a fool died?" And David said, you know, his hands weren't tied, his feet weren't shackled. I'm not sure he said feet. But in other words, David called Abner's allowing Joab to kill him as being like a fool. In other words, David is saying, you don't let someone just kill you, you defend yourself. And so, and I agree with David, you don't just let a man kill you, you defend yourself. But Joab fooled Abner and killed him. And David didn't like it because Abner was killed, because Abner had just come to him and made a deal with him, but Joab didn't know what the deal was, and he went forward, and because he had Abner had come to David and had left, and then Joab was out of town when he came, and when Joab and those got back, someone told him, said, well, Abner came into the king, and the king has let him go, because they knew that Joab wanted to kill Abner. So then Joab sent for Abner, And when he came back, he told him, let's go over here in so many words. He told him he had something that he wanted to tell him or talk to him about. When they got over there, Joab just killed him. And so David said, died Abner as a fool dies? And David indicated that his hands weren't tied. He wasn't bound. And so that's the way a lot of us men think. If we're not bound, we're going to defend ourselves. And so in that car, I disconnected my seatbelt because I realized that this guy had a problem and that I may have to defend myself. And so he put his hands back over. I think I had to tell him one or two times, put his hands back over, because a person can take your car and be gone. So we got to the corner of Florida Street, and I think that's I forget the name of that street now. I think I just Fremont Mill Road, the corner. There's some stores and shops there. So I pulled in there, and he said, "Well, take me on out to the highway. The superhighway is right down there." And I knew right away, if I took him to the highway, he could probably kick me out and take my car and be gone. I said, "No, get out right here." I said, you know, then he didn't like that. Take me to the house. No, I'm going to take it out. Get out of my car. I'm sorry. Sometimes you got to be just a little tough. And then he said something about, because I think I told him that I was a preacher, talking about a preacher or something. I said, man, get out of my car. And he got out, and I left. The whole thing is, I helped the boy. I helped the man. But God doesn't want you to be stupid. God does not want you to be stupid. Just like David said about Abner. Died Abner as a fool dies? That's what David said. He didn't like it because Joab had killed Abner, because Abner, he had just made a deal with Abner. Abner was bringing all of the kingdom that Saul had to David. That's the deal they had. But Joab didn't know that. And Joab went and killed him. And after that, David cursed his nephew Joab. Cursed him and cursed his family. Anyway, getting back to this, we have compassion on people, but we use wisdom. So I'm not asking you to do what I did with that man. Just use wisdom. Use wisdom, but do show compassion. In this particular case, the man is incapacitated. The man I picked up at that church, he was not incapacitated. But I wanted to show my Christian love and my compassion, and I gave him a ride. But it became very clear that he wasn't right. But God sustained me. And my wife and my sisters often criticize me for doing some things like that. But God has been good to me. God has been good. But I particularly warn and caution young people and women, be careful. You want to show compassion, but do it with wisdom. Yes, you want to show compassion, but do it with wisdom. As David said, died Abner as a fool dies. There are people who are dangerous. We really can't help everybody every time. But you might be able to tell somebody else, there's a man back there who needs help. I was afraid to help him because I wasn't sure. Can you help him? You can go get someone. That's changing the calculus from half dead. That changes the calculus, because if that person comes and helps him, you have ministered to that man through someone else. So use wisdom. As preachers, we have to be careful not to send you into deadly situations that can harm you. God doesn't want that. Yes, he wants us to have faith. But God wants you to use wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. So there are many ways we can help people. But the priest did zero to help the man. And the Levite did zero to help the man. If you go tell somebody about the man, you have helped the man. You've shown compassion. If you try to get help for the person, you might not be able to help everybody. But if you try to get help, you've changed the equation. You've changed the calculus. And you are not like the priest that passed by on the other side. You're not like the Levite that passed by on the other side. Christians have compassion. And so we need to make a difference, but we need to use wisdom in making that difference. The priest did not make a difference. The Levite did not make a difference. But the Samaritan made a difference. Jesus says here in Luke chapter 10, beginning reading at verse 33, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him." So he's already changed the calculus. He's changed the equation. The man was 50-50. But now, everything he has done here, bound up his wounds, poured in oil, poured in wine, that changed the equation. That changed the calculus. And so the 50-50 has changed now. The half dead has changed to more toward life. We can do things to help people. We can. That's why when I see people begging for money at the intersection, I'll give them a dollar if I have one. If I don't have a dollar, I'll give them a quarter, a dime. I'll change the equation. I'll change the equation. Compassion will change the equation in a positive, good way, a helpful way. Half dead. But when you change the equation with something that makes it more likely that the person will live, will survive the situation, you've ministered and you've demonstrated compassion. Some people don't seem to have compassion. So not only did the man bind up his wounds, which we were taught very well to do when I was in medical school in the U.S. Army, we would bind up wounds. That's one thing you've got to do, and there are reasons for that. Numerous reasons. Poured in oil and wine the man poured in. Set him on his own beast. Got personal and let him kind of deny himself and put him on his own beast. I don't know if the man could hold on to him or if he had to lay him across this beast. I don't know. And brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now this is changing the equation. The priest did zero. The Levite did zero. The Samaritan, from a group of people that many of the Jews thought of as half-breed and not measuring up, the Samaritan, they were looked down on by many people who were supposed to be the pure bloods. The Samaritan did a number of things to help the man. Bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, took care of him. And the next day when he left, he took out money and gave it to the innkeeper, the host, and said, "Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." Now that's compassion. That's compassion. That is compassion. Hallelujah. Jesus asked now the lawyer in verse 36, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves?" And this is what the lawyer says. And he said, "He that showed mercy upon him." He that showed mercy on him, verse 37, is where the lawyer answers Jesus. And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Now we know that the question was, what must I do to get eternal life, to inherit eternal life? The lawyer had asked in verse 25, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus answers this question. Loving God with everything you have, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And I wonder how many of you really have it in your heart. How many of you are the priest? How many of you are the Levite? How many of you are the Good Samaritan Christians, preachers, deacons, elders, bishops, reverends? How many of you? How many of you? There was a poem I used to like, written by a man named Sam Walter Foss. The title of that poem, The House by the Side of the Road. And some parts of it go like this. There are hermit souls that live withdrawn in the place of their self-content. There are souls like stars that dwell apart in a fellowless firmament. There are pioneer souls that blaze the paths where highways never ran, but let me live by the side of the road and be a friend to man. Let me live in a house by the side of the road where the race of men go by. Men who are good and men who are bad, as good and as bad as I. I would not sit in the scorner's seat, nor hurl the cynic's ban. Let me live in a house by the side of the road and be a friend to man. That's just part of poem, but I always loved that poem. The house is titled The House by the Side of the Road. The House by the Side of the Road by Sam Walter Foss, F-O-S-S. There are hermited souls that live withdrawn in the place of their self-content. There are souls like stars that dwell apart in a fellowless firmament. There are pioneer souls that blaze the paths where highways never ran, but let me live by the side of the road and be a friend to man. Let me live in a house by the side of the road where the race of men go by. Men who are good and men who are bad, as good and as bad as I. I would not sit in the scorner's seat, nor hurl the cynic's ban. Let me live in a house by the side of the road and be a friend to man. From the poem titled The House by the Side of the Road by Sam Walter Foss, F-O-S-S. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, thank you for the explanation that Jesus gave to the lawyer who was tempting him. Thank you for the parable that you clearly gave to us. And Father God, help us. Help us to have in our hearts, that love for God and love for our neighbor, that we might have the requisite, the right amount of compassion, and apply the right amount of mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. My friend, if you are a Christian and you have discovered that you don't have in your heart that love for God and your neighbor, pray, pray, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Ask for it in prayer. And if some of you were not saved, but as a result of this worship service, you've become saved, when you know you are saved, when that love for God and love for your neighbor is clearly present in your heart, contact a Christian minister and or ministry, request and receive Christian baptism. Christian baptism is very important. The Lord God Himself, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, will see to it that people help you in your Christian walk. Let us look unto the Lord and be dismissed. And now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.